grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The text for our sermon this morning is the Gospel reading from Mark 6, especially verses 30 through 34. The apostles returned to Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Here ends the text. Dear friends in Christ, a woman who had lived a long, hard life was about to pass into eternity. Her pastor tried to speak comforting and assuring words to her. He spoke of heaven with its many mansions, its angelic choirs, its joyful reunions. But the woman had only one concern as she asked, "Pastor, do you think that the Lord will just let me rest a while?" We see in our gospel reading that rest was also a concern for Jesus and his disciples. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, Jesus had sent out his disciples two by two. They had journeyed from village to village. They had traveled extensively, preached repentance, cast out demons, and healed many people. That in itself would certainly have been exhausting. But in addition came some news that was very emotionally draining. The news, as we heard last week, was that their friend John the Baptist had just been beheaded by King Herod. What a terrible shock that must have been to the closely knit group of disciples. They certainly needed some time alone to gather their thoughts, regain their strength, and mourn the loss of their friend. However, they weren't receiving that time alone. As Jesus and his disciples met together in Capernaum, our gospel reading says, "So many people were coming and going that the disciples didn't even have a chance to eat. So Jesus said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while.'" But still, the time for rest hadn't arrived. Shortly after Jesus and his disciples traveled to that lonely place where they were supposed to get some peace and quiet, a large crowd of people from the nearby cities also arrived. They were following Jesus. Some wanted to see him perform some more miracles. Some wanted to make him king of Israel. Some just wanted to listen to his teaching. But none of them would let him rest. We also look for rest in the middle of the busyness, demands, and confusion of our lives. With a combination of the internet and cell phones, we're expected to be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to our employers, friends, and relatives. Except, perhaps, like Pastor Nielsen, when we're in those areas of northern Maine with no cell phone or internet service. But unless we're up there, there's work to do. Family needs to be met, and church work which needs attention. We're called to respond when we would much rather rest. But how are we to respond? Where are we to receive the power to act, to love, or even to care? Let's see how Jesus dealt with the situation in his life. How did he respond? What did he do? We begin by asking the question, what did Jesus see as the multitude gathered around him? He saw a large crowd of people waiting for him. Some in the crowd had run along the shore of the Sea of Galilee in order to catch up with the miracle worker, Jesus. That huge crowd of people was tired. They were physically hungry and they were spiritually hungry. And here I'm going to borrow a sentence from Pastor Nielsen's sermon last week. He said, "Because we don't know who we are in Christ, We're very tired people. We're always tired and weary, if not physically, then emotionally and spiritually. That certainly describes the crowd which came to see Jesus. They were physically, emotionally, and spiritually tired. They were like sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus saw more than just a faceless crowd of thousands of people. Think of the television coverage of a Red Sox game. This afternoon at 1:10, the Red Sox will again be playing my home team, the Detroit Tigers, at Comerica Park. And like yesterday, the Tigers will no doubt beat the Red Sox. The TV camera will show the huge crowd of people in the bleachers of that ballpark. There will be thousands of people sitting there, thousands of seemingly nameless faces. That's a bit like what we might have seen if we had been looking at that crowd of thousands of people gathered around Jesus. But that's not what Jesus saw. He didn't see them as a Comerica crowd, Comerica Park crowd, all faces blending together in the bleachers. Rather, he saw each person individually. He saw what made each person distinctive. He saw a crowd, but he saw it composed of individuals. Jesus saw them with their own individual human needs. He saw one who was grieving over the loss of a loved one. He saw another who was in pain from a chronic disease. He saw still another who was struggling to earn favor with God. He saw not just their outward faces, but their inward needs. As I'm standing here, I definitely don't see a Comerica Park-sized crowd, or even a Fenway Park-sized crowd. I can definitely see individual faces, but I don't know what's going on behind those faces, except perhaps for those faces with closed eyes. I know what's going on there. But for the rest of you, I don't know what's going on, and you don't know exactly what's going on in the lives of those sitting here. Sometimes we physically see other people, but we really don't want to know too much about them. It would be very uncomfortable to know about their personal needs and pain. We can work with people, live with them, face them eyeball to eyeball, and yet fail to see what is of central importance and significance in their lives. But Jesus knows. And on that hillside in Galilee, Jesus looked and saw more than merely a group of people gathered along a lake shore. He saw people with individual needs. And instead of getting back in the boat and trying to find another quiet place, Jesus stayed where he was. He stayed where the need was. There certainly is a time to rest, but this wasn't yet the time. The needs of those people were too great, and seeing those needs, Jesus responded. Our gospel reading tells us that Jesus was moved to compassion by the presence of the great crowd of people along the shore. 10 times in the Old Testament, this exact phrase is found. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. When ancient peoples thought of their various gods, they usually thought about those gods being wrathful and vengeful. But compassionate? No, that was one of the last things that they would think about one of their gods. But compassion is an attribute of the true God. The word compassion is used in the scriptures to describe Jesus' feeling when he encountered the widow of Nain, a leper, 2 blind men, and the unbelieving people of Jerusalem. Compassion wasn't a new emotion for Jesus, and he felt it again as he looked at the crowd waiting for him. But what had they done to earn such deep love and concern? Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, they were crowding around Jesus on a day that he had planned for much needed rest for for he and his disciples. For some people, that alone would be grounds for refusing to care. But Jesus did care. He was moved with compassion because the people were like sheep without a shepherd. And sheep without a shepherd, like sinners without a savior, are lost. Jesus saw that the people had no focus for their lives, no direction, no protection. They had no one to lead them through doubt or despair, fear or frustration, pain or pleasures. They were separated from their God who had created their world and breathed into them the very breath of life. They, like we, were sinners. As St. Paul tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The gathering of lost sheep in need of salvation was the scene which Jesus saw. And that was exactly like what God described through the prophet Jeremiah. My people have been lost sheep. From mountain to mountain hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold. And through Ezekiel, our God said, my sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and over every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. But all that changed on that hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee. The time of God's gathering of his flock had arrived. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who came to seek and save the lost, was doing exactly that. God is love, and Jesus, as God in the flesh, was moved with love and compassion. And that compassion is extended to all of us who struggle through life burdened by our sins and troubles. The shepherd calls us, his sheep, to himself. Jesus saw the need of the people on that hillside. He had compassion on them. And then his compassion resulted in action. In fact, the ministry of Jesus might be described as compassion in action. He did something. What did he do? He taught the people who came to him. He gave them exactly what they really needed, and that wasn't necessarily what they were seeking. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom with authority and power, as he did in the temple, on the mountain, from Simon's boat, in the synagogue, and wherever he went. We know, of course, that our Lord's compassion wasn't limited to his teaching, as powerful as that was. Moved with compassion, he raised the dead, he cured diseases, gave sight to the blind, healed the lepers, and fed the thousands of people who gathered to hear him on that hillside. When the head of the Episcopal Church of the USA was elected, she said that her focus was on feeding people, providing primary education, promoting sustainable development, and healing people with AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. Certainly those are compassionate goals, but she made no mention of feeding the people with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they might have everlasting life. All Jesus' miracles were true acts of compassion, but the act of teaching surpassed them all. Why is that? The people whom Jesus raised from the dead would die again. The people whom Jesus healed would get sick again. The people whom Jesus fed would get hungry again. But the people whom Jesus taught had a gift which would last for all eternity. They had the knowledge that their sins were forgiven. They had the knowledge that they would live forever with Jesus in a place where there would be no more death, no more sickness, and no more hunger. The example of Jesus is something for all of us to keep in mind as we show compassion to others. We should be concerned about the physical needs of others. We should work to eliminate the many inequalities which exist in this, We should help our neighbors when they're in need, as we do with our homeless shelter meals. But all of that will be in vain if we don't also teach the way to forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. We have to remember that as great and mighty as Jesus' compassionate acts were, his ultimate act of compassion was his suffering and death. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for his sheep so that we, his sheep, might have eternal life. This is the good news which we need to teach others. So today, we are in the presence of our Lord as was the crowd on the hillside 2,000 years ago. Our needs are the same. We stumble and fall in our attempts to find our own way in the world. We're burdened with fears and problems. Our faith is often weak. We've sinned. We can't save ourselves. But our Lord has not changed. He still sees our individual needs. We're not a faceless Fenway Park crowd. We're no longer sheep without a shepherd. Our sins are forgiven. We're now in Christ. Through our baptism, we've been united with him in time and in eternity. Our Lord now calls us to see brother and sister, parent and child, friend and enemy, as individuals whom Christ has loved. Pray for eyes to see. Look closely and see that person's need. Look past the outward behavior and appearances to see the person which Jesus sees. He sees someone precious and worth dying for and rising for. By the grace of God, we see the presence of Christ in that other person. Then, confident of Jesus' all-embracing love for us and that he will indeed give us strength, we're moved with compassion. Think back to the woman I spoke about at the beginning of the sermon, the dying woman who just wondered if the Lord would let her rest a while in heaven. He certainly will. We're told in the book of Revelation, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them." We will rest from our labors, but it's not yet the time for rest. We respond to the needs of those whom we see, and we're aware of their spiritual needs as well as their physical needs. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we act in a way that all their needs might be met. In so doing, we serve our Lord and Savior. For as he says, "As you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." We do so today, beginning with those nearest us. And we do it to the glory of the Father. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.